do for the Lord. And it encourages me. I want to recognize somebody this morning. We have Brother Luke Barefoot with us. Brother, would you stand up? Let's give you a big hand. Thank you, Brother. Luke has been away. He's gone. He's been in boot camp. Got to come home for a little bit. We've had several of our youth that have joined the military service. And we've got some that are joining the police force. Just waiting for the time that they can actually become active. But, you know, it's amazing when you think about it. Since I've been at the church, I think we probably had 40 graduate from high school, something like that. And when you look over here, and this youth area is still full. So we praise God for that. We praise God for what He's doing. We believe that God has a plan, and we want to be right where God wants us to be. Amen? So we're going to follow Him, and we're going to trust Him. And God's got a plan for all of our lives. You know, as I mentioned earlier, sometimes we just need to be encouraged. And I hope that's what this service or this message will do for you this morning. I've got something that I don't know that I've ever even preached on this in my life. And I like it when God shows me something and, you know, He kind of gives me some encouragement and it's something that I can share. And I want to read this morning out of 1 Samuel chapter number 7. And I want to preach on this subject, Remember Ebenezer. You know, sometimes you go by churches and the name of the church is Ebenezer Baptist Church. I actually have been a member of an Ebenezer Baptist Church at one time. There are several of them around. Sometimes you find churches that are named after places in the Bible, like Bethel, and some of the churches that are in the book of Revelation or some of the churches that Paul preached to. But I begin to look at this scripture and study this, and I want to read to you this morning in the 7th chapter of 1 Samuel. And then we want to just look at historical review. We kind of want to walk through this scripture to understand the content and the context and what it's talking about. And then we want to look at the doctrinal application, and then we want to understand how it applies to our life. You know, sometimes, and I've heard people say, you know, the Old Testament, it's the Old Testament, and I've even heard preachers say, I don't preach out of the Old Testament. I don't know how you don't. This is something that I've said before. It's very important to me is when I preach, I want it to be what God wants. I don't want it to be me. I don't want it to be what I think or what I want or even this. I had a man tell me one time, he said, an evangelist preaches what he sees. But I believe that's okay as long as that's what God bids you to do. But I'll tell you this, I don't believe it's my job because I see somebody doing something that's not right to get up here in my own self and try to tell them what to do to fix it. We must be led by the Holy Spirit. And that's important. So I have an outline, I have scripture, but I tell you what's important. What does God want? Okay? Now let's read the scripture and let the Lord speak to you and look at the scripture as we read it. And I want to begin reading in the first verse, and I'm going to read 13 verses, but like I said, we're going to go back through the scripture. It says, and the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. And the children of Israel did put away Balaam, and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord of it for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. And Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued when they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Now, I'm going to go back and read the 12th verse. It says, then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Now, I want to give you just a little bit of history so you'll understand what's going on in this scripture. If you got your Bible and you want to flip back a page, you can look at the 5th chapter. In the 5th chapter, you find that the ark of the Lord, the ark of God, had been taken by the Philistines. And it was taken because the children of Israel were not where they needed to be with God. You see, many times what happened to the children of Israel is they would only fall into the hand of an enemy when they had turned their backs on God. And when they had fallen in battle and the ark of God was taken, the Philistines had got them their hands on something that they wished they had never seen. Once they got the ark of God and they took it down to the house of their god Dagon, and they placed the ark of the Lord before Dagon. And when they came in the next morning, Dagon, their idol statue, had fallen down on his face. Well, they set their false god that they had built with hands back up. And they come in the next day, and Dagon had fallen down again, but his head and the palms of his hands had been cut off. Now, here they are, and they see this, and they're beginning to realize something is going on. They're beginning to realize that there's something about the God of the children of Israel. Now, here's what I want you to understand. If the children of Israel had just stayed right with God, they wouldn't even had to have an army. Because you read over here, what happened is Samuel cried unto the Lord. The Lord heard him. And it said that the Lord God thundered with a mighty thunder upon them. You know, we talked a week ago about what happened to Pharaoh's army when he pursued after the children of Israel and they went into that water. God caused the wheels to come off the chariots. Well, the Philistines, they see the ark of God, and Dagon, he's nothing, he's no more. And they start going from city to city with this ark. You see this in the second part of this 5th chapter. And as the ark moves from city to city, guess what's happening? Because of the power of the ark and their defiance of the God of Israel, everywhere that ark goes, people start dying. They start getting disease, and they start being, especially their leaders, overcome with disease, and they're dying one after another. They're beginning to realize we've got a hold of something that we don't need to be touching. Can I tell you that sometimes we need to have respect for the things of God and understand, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I believe he's a God to be feared. See, the Bible says our God is a consuming fire. He's merciful and he's gracious and he's kind, but there's too much lack of respect for the things of God. Sometimes I come in here and I look in the gravel and I see where people been cutting donuts out here. Or they've stolen something, or they've thrown beer cans out in the churchyard. Can I tell you a time when I was growing up, I can remember my daddy telling me, he said, we might not have been right with God, but we had enough respect for the house of God that we knew better than to do that kind of stuff. People have lost that respect. I want to tell you something. God taught the Philistines respect for the ark. Well, here's what they decided. They got all their leaders together, and they said, what are we going to do? They pretty much said, we got to get rid of this thing or we're all going to be dead. And they took that ark and they made a cart. And you see this in the 6th chapter. And they put 2 milk kine in front of it. Took their lambs or their calves away from them. And they put an offering into the cart. And here's what it was. It was 5 golden emeralds or golden tumors. And they put 5 golden mice into a box in that cart with the ark of God. And here's what it was. We're offered a sacrifice back unto the Lord that God would have mercy on us and he would remove his hand of wrath upon us for stealing the ark of God. Now, folks, this was something to be respected. It had a cup of manna in it. It had Aaron's rod that had budded. It was historical. And we're going to talk about an Ebenezer, but I tell you what was in this ark. It had things that reminded the people of God of the power of God and what God had done to restore them. And it was sacred and it was holy. Where's holiness gone? This ark was holy. And when they turned these milk kine loose, they kind of talked about, we're going to see which direction it goes. Can I tell you, God had the ability to lead those 2 milk kine exactly where that ark needed to go. Sometimes, let's just be honest, the animals have more sense than we do. Remember Balaam's donkey? Balaam, God's telling him what to do, and he says, well, he wants to argue and bargain with God. Sometimes we do that. God's told us what to do, and we say, but Lord. It's like when your kid comes to you, and he asks mama, and mama says no, then he goes to daddy. And he says, daddy, and then they go back, and he said, is it all right with you if it's all right with mama? And before you know it, it's working back and forth. That's kind of the way Balaam was. He was just trying to get his way, even though God had already told him. And he was going down this tight path, and the donkey just sat down. Folks, we need to have honor and respect for the things of God. These milk kine knew exactly where to go, and they went to the field that God had them go to, and they got this ark, and it returned to the children of Israel. Now, all this time, the children of Israel, what are they doing? They're worshiping Balaam. They're worshiping the Ashtaroth. And here's what they used to do when they worshiped the Ashtaroth. It was worship of groves or trees. They would decorate trees. And you ever heard anybody say, knock on wood? Let me tell you, Christians, don't knock on wood. Here's what knocking on wood means. And it comes all the way back to the Ashtaroth. They would go to the tree and they would knock on the tree to wake up the evil spirits. Now, we talked about this last week. We talked about it on Celebrate Recovery Monday night. I want you to understand something. There are only 2 powers. It either comes from God in heaven or it comes from Lucifer and his demons. That's it. There's nothing else. And all power, all strength, all knowledge comes from one place or the other. And I want you to understand something. The devil's got power. He's got knowledge. That's what voodoo is. That's what getting your palm read is. That's what playing with a Ouija board is. That's what going and rolling the bones is. That's what tarot cards is. That's what reading your horoscope is. But we don't do those things. We come and we seek wisdom and knowledge from God. We pray to him, and these altars are always open, and he leads us and he guides us. Well, here's the children of Israel. They've gotten away from God. They're worshiping Balaam and the Ashtaroth, and the ark of God is sitting up on a hill up there being looked over by Eleazar, and the people look up there, and you know what? They finally realize he's God, whether we honor him or not. And they begin to look at themselves and they say, how foolish we are. How foolish we are to worship these false gods when our God is capable by himself. What does it say? I like that verse, Brother Larry. Yet if we believe not, he still remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And the children of Israel were down here disobeying God, worshiping Balaam and Ashtaroth. But God said, I'm still God, and I'm not going to be defied by these Philistines. He's God. Well, business starts to pick up in chapter 7. Because when the children of Israel come together and they begin to cry unto the Lord and to repent because they've gathered together in one place and they're coming together in unity, the Philistines see them and they say, it's time to attack. Attack them while they're together. Attack them while they're vulnerable. Attack them before they get strong. And the children of Israel see the armies of the Philistines as they rise up to come. And the people cry out to Samuel. And they say to him, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. Well, praise God. Samuel is God's man, and he prays and he offers sacrifice. And what does God do? This is what I want God to do. I don't want God to defend me based upon how strong I am. I don't want him to defend me based upon what I'm able to present or what I'm able to offer. But the scripture says that God thundered upon the army of Philistines with mighty power and overcame them. Now we get to the message. Verse number 12 says, Samuel took a stone. And he set it between Mizpah and Sin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Now I want you to understand what this means. Setting a monument to remember significant events is not uncommon in the Word of God. See, Jacob remembered God's promise to the Jewish people at Bethel in Genesis chapter 28. And then Joshua stacked up stones to commemorate the crossing of the river of the Jordan into the promised land in Joshua chapter number 4. You see, commemorating historic events with a marker was a way to be reminded of God's provision in a time of need. Now here's what Ebenezer means. It means stone of help or remembering stone. And here was what it was about. They set that stone up just like they set those 12 stones when they crossed the Jordan so that every time they passed it, they would remember what God had done for them. How God had delivered them from the hand of Philistines. How God had allowed them to cross that river Jordan. You know what it reminds us of? It reminds us of the faithfulness of God. I found this note in a letter that I get from a minister regularly. It says, J. Hudson Taylor, missionary, founder of the China Inland Mission in the late 1800s, had a plaque in his home that read this. A plaque on the wall said, the Lord has helped us to this point. And he will see to it from now on. Sometimes we need that. He made that and put it up on the wall. Brother Tommy had a picture made, put on the wall out here. It's a picture of the church, and it says this, the Lord did this, it's all about him. Everybody that comes in the foyer needs to read that. It's not about us. See, this plaque, or this stone, it was an Ebenezer. It was a remembering stone. Now, here's the thing. It could be a plaque. It could be a place. But everybody has an Ebenezer. And when I begin to look at this lesson, and I begin to study it, and I sit there and I begin to ponder in my mind the times that God has moved or God has touched and the things that are etched into my memory, and here's some Ebenezers that we need to remember. Here's one. It could be the day that Jesus saved you. That ought to be etched in your memory as an Ebenezer. You see, I can remember the place and I can remember the time. I can't tell you that it was a particular day on a particular month, but I remember I was 12 years old. It was down at Welcome Hill Baptist Church. I was sitting right there on the end of the second bench, and I remember I went to the altar right there. I remember that Earl Partain was preaching a revival. That's an Ebenezer in my life. I remember it. Every person that's ever been saved by the grace of God, you need to be able to go back to the time and the place and know in your heart and mind that I'm sure and that I know that I know that I know that that's the day that I met Jesus. What about this? As I began to think further, I thought of another Ebenezer in my life. It was a day that Jesus called me into the ministry. I've said this before, but it fits right here. I can remember I was at Lithia Springs High School. I was in the ninth grade. I was coming around. On this side, they had a big lunchroom with a stage that went down, for those of you that have been in there. And I was going through those double doors on this side when God spoke to me. And this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, I'm going to have something for you to do. But I knew what it was. That was an Ebenezer in my life. Because from that point forward, now that was different than being saved, but from that point forward, I wasn't ever the same. You know, sometimes as Christians, let's just be real with it and be honest with it and get straight with it. When you get right with God and you want to serve God, you will not fit in with the world. Amen. You'll get to the point that you won't be comfortable around them and they're not going to be comfortable around you. The closer you get to the God, the more real that's going to be in your life. And it was real in my life in the ninth grade. It did not hurt my feelings, Brother Billy, that I didn't get invited to parties. Amen. And the reason is because if they'd have felt comfortable enough to invite me, then my testimony would have been what it needed to be anyway. Did I feel alone? A lot of times. Was I lonely sometimes? Yeah. Was I ever alone? No. Because everywhere I went, God was with me. I'm going to give you another Ebenezer, and this one is as real to me as the first one. I remember the day that I surrendered to God. Now, here's something I want you to understand. There's a lot of people that are saved today that have never surrendered. They've never come to the point in their life that they're going to say, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be what you want me to be. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to get busy. But I can remember when I surrendered. That was just a few years after I graduated from high school. And I was miserable. You know why I was miserable? Because I was a Christian that was not surrendered. Things in my life weren't going the way that I wanted them to be. And I wanted God to fix everything. But God didn't want to fix everything. He wanted me to surrender. And problems, sometimes people come to the house of God, what they want, it's like playing country music backwards. What do you get? You play your country music backwards, you get your truck back. You get your girlfriend back. You get your dog back. You get your job back. You know, I wanted God to fix everything in my life, but what God wanted was me. And I remember when I surrendered, I went down to Zion Hill Baptist Church, Black Hawk Hill. Some of you might know what is that. Just a little country church. And I went into the church on a Sunday afternoon between services. Nobody there but me. And I went in the Sunday school room in the back. And I was so hurt, I laid down flat on my face in the carpet. I was 21 years old. And I said, God, I surrender. I surrender my future. I surrender whoever you want me to live with, whoever my wife's going to be. Lord, I surrender whatever work. I said, God, I don't care if I live in a tent by the river and if all I ever drive is a truck that kills mosquitoes when I drive down the road, I want to be right with God. I surrender. And that was an Ebenezer in my life, and I'll never forget that day. I got saved. But you got to surrender. Now let's look at applying Ebenezer. We may pile up rocks one upon another, or we may not. But we need to have some markers in our life that we can go back to and remember those as times of significance when we did business with God. Because God wants to do business with us. He wants to deliver us from the Philistines. He wants to deliver us from our enemies, and He wants to build in us the confidence that we're going to follow Him regardless. Sometimes we need to go back to Ebenezer. I want to give you just a few reasons why. Sometimes we need to remember God's touch. And here's what I want you to see. Remembering God's touch, do you remember the day when the Lord saved you? And I'll tell you what I remember about it. I grew up in church. I went to revivals all the time. I heard preachers that could preach. And I was in church, but I had never been touched. What do you mean? The Holy Spirit had never spoke to my heart and let me know that I was lost. But when I was sitting there that night, and that revival and that preacher preached, the Holy Spirit touched me. And here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. I remember it. It's like words. It said, he's talking to you. And I went, whoo! It was just going to church. That's what we did. Until the Holy Spirit said, he's talking to you. And it couldn't have been any more real as if you'd hit me right in the face with a glass of ice water. And I can remember that touch, and I can remember what it was like when the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And when I begin to be familiar with that, and I moved and I got saved, but I want to tell you, I was never the same. Never. I was never the same because I had been made alive, born spiritually into the family of God, and I found myself being spoken to by the Holy Spirit more often. Well, how do you know? Well, I went straight outside, got into a fight with my sister the night I got saved. But the Spirit of God started working in my life. You know, just as a boy convicting me of sins, as a teenager growing up, going places you know you shouldn't go, and the Holy Spirit speaking to you saying things like this. I remember one time the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I was in a place, and I didn't think it was that bad until the Spirit of God said, would you want me to come back and find you here? I was ready to get out of there. See, I wasn't the same, and I understand, and I can remember God's touch. Have you ever had those times that you were just so heavy that you couldn't hardly bear what you were going through, and you had to get to the point that you were willing to surrender, and you just come, and you get on your face, and you say, God, I can't handle it by myself no more. Remember what it was like when God touched you. And he says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden's light. And he just reaches down and he gets it. I remember that touch. Sometimes we need to go back to Ebenezer. Why? So we can remember the touch of God. Sometimes we need to go back to Ebenezer so we can remember God's blessings. See, God's been so good to us. God's been so good to America. God's been so good to this country. Sometimes we need to remember that. That's a song that Kendra and I used to sing some. It's entitled, Remind Me, Dear Lord. It says, the things that I love and hold dear to my heart, they're just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. It says, roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. See, the truth is God's been good to us, and I'll have to say, speaking of myself, God has been better to me than I deserve. I don't deserve the blessings that God's given me. I don't deserve the forgiveness, the mercy, the grace, the kindness, the peace that is overwhelming, that passeth all understanding. In the book of Psalms, in the 116th chapter, it says this, what shall I render unto the Lord? The 12th verse. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. The 17th verse, I will offer to thee the sacrifices of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Sometimes we need to be called back to Ebenezer to remember what God has done for us. There's a couple of times I've preached with a picture album. Some of y'all still got picture albums? Those big ones? Somebody shared with me this morning, going back through the memory of the things of life that we've been through. Can I tell you, there's not a family in here that doesn't from time to time need to get your picture albums out. You need to look when your babies was born. You need to look when you walked down the aisle and you made that commitment to live together for the rest of your life, for better, for worse. You need to look at the times that you stood together and you cried together and you hurt together and you grew together and you went through the challenges of life and the things that life brings. You know why? Because the older you get, it's not going to go away and be different. It's just going to be a different challenge. And if you don't remember the Ebenezers in your life of what God's done, you'll go forward and you'll forget the most important things in your life. There are times I need to look at it. I got some Ebenezers hanging on my wall, Brother Billy. There's a paper in there when I was licensed to preach in 1986, Brother Tom. And there's another one right beside it when I was ordained in 1989. Can I tell you that every now and then I have to get them down and I take them out of the frame and I turn them over and I read every name slowly and go down through there to read the people that had enough confidence in me to license me to preach the gospel or to ordain me. You know why? Because this world that we live in today, it'll devour you, it'll eat you up, and even though you might think you're strong, you need Ebenezer to bring you back to the place that God brought you out from among this world. You know, when I read it, when I was at my weakest point, when the devil come and he said, you might as well quit preaching. You ain't good for nothing. You can't do nothing. You're a failure. You're no good. Nobody likes you. You don't know nothing. Quit. And I said, God, take me back to Ebenezer. And I read it, and I bowed my head, and I said, God, help me to be what I can't be by myself. Sometimes you need to go back to Ebenezer and remember God's provision. Consider the stone of remembrance. When they walked by it and they saw it, as they saw those 12 stones beside the Jordan, or they saw the rock of an Ebenezer that was set there, you know what they were reminded of? That God is faithful. We played that song this morning. God has been so faithful to me. Sometimes the truth is, we are just like the psalmist wrote. We are in the valley of the shadow of death, and we look up and it's hard to see the sun because it just passes over the mountains through the valleys for a very short period in a day. But I want to tell you, even when we're in the valley, even when we're in the storms of life, if you're a child of God, He's faithful. You're never alone. You never walk alone, and He's with you everywhere that you go. God's been faithful. There are sometimes I have to remember the provision of God, just to be honest with you, because sometimes I'm afraid. Sometimes I'm afraid. And I'm afraid because I'm standing in my own way. Standing by myself, and I'm not realizing that God sees things I can't see. And He's able to do things that I can't do. See, we need to remember God's provision to understand that when I can't, God can. Every now and then we need to be reminded that the Lord is my provider and not man. Sometimes we need to be reminded. Sometimes we need to go to Ebenezer for this. Sometimes we need to remember God's promises. You see, He promised that He would never leave us nor forsake us. He promised that He would go and prepare a place for us, and if He'd go and prepare a place for us, that He'd come again to receive us unto Him. He's promised He's coming back. Amen. You know, sometimes, and I've got to this point, I'm there again, I've declared bankruptcy with the news. Amen. I just don't need to hear it anymore. There ain't nothing they can come up with that I hadn't heard, and everybody's guilty of everything. I'm just tired of it. And if you're not careful, you get to paying so much attention to that you lose sight of the fact that God is still in control, and God has not changed, and He's still on the throne, and He's getting things lined up for leaving. I need to be reminded. And then the last one, and this is very important. We need an Ebenezer to remind us of God's position. Folks, let's get a hold of this. He is God, and we are not. If you look at the scripture we read over there in 1 Samuel, and you look at chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, here's what happened. Dagon was just a stone. He was just a stone set up, and if he had any power at all, it was only because an evil spirit dwelt there. That's it. And you can study that in the Bible and see it. Dagon learned. He's God. When they moved that ark through those cities, everywhere that ark went, then people said, you know, it's almost like people got to the point they'd heard it. They see it coming. Don't bring that here. They learned who God was. And then when that ark landed up there on that hill in that house, and it sat there for 20 years, and the people down in the valley worshiping false gods that they had made with their hands with wood that wouldn't rot and overlaid it with gold. You know, people are doing the very same thing today. People are making their own gods today. They try to make God into what they want Him to be. I heard a preacher preach a message one time, a powerful message, and he preached this: stop making me up. What did he mean? Stop making God into what you want Him to be and realize He's God, and let's worship and respect His position. Dagon learned it. The Philistines learned it. I want to tell you, people of America need to learn it. Our strength does not lie in our economic wealth. It does not lie in our military prowess. It certainly does not lie in the intelligence of our political leaders. I tell you where our strength lies. It lies in the fact that America has praying mothers. That America has people just like the people at Hiram First Baptist Church that know what it means to get on your face before God and cry out and ask the Lord to do something and to move. And understanding His position, we should have godly fear and respect for Him. And when we come into His house, we should worship Him. You know, when I hear the songs sung like the songs sung this morning, I just sit here and it's just like food for my soul. It's like, you know, a lot of these cars now, you know, you drive them up and you park them at the airport and you stick that thing in, it just charges them up. That's the way I am when I come to the house of God. I'm just getting hooked up. I heard a preacher preach this one time. He said, I'm hooked up to the spout where the glory runs out. And I like that. And you know what it does? It helps me. Helps me make it through the week next week. See, we remember God's position. Here's what we do. Give Him all of the glory. Every ounce of it. If something goes right, praise Him. Give Him glory. You see, Ebenezer means stone of help or remembering stone. Ask him to go ahead and get ready with a song, whatever we're going to sing or play. And I'll say this, the altars are always open here, but they're especially open right now. You see, perhaps today somebody needs to build an Ebenezer. Maybe you build an Ebenezer in your life, and here's the most important Ebenezer you'll ever build. It's the time that you acknowledge the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That's God. That thumping in your heart, that trouble, that is He talking to me? That's God. Maybe you need to build an Ebenezer the day that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Salvation is the number one Ebenezer that every person needs in their life. Maybe there's somebody here today that God is speaking to that needs to surrender. And you can surrender for a number of different reasons. You can surrender to a calling. Maybe God's got something that He wants you to do. And I want to tell you something. It ain't got to be just to preach. I want to tell you something. We need people to work in the nursery. We need people to work in Awana. We need people to work in children's church. We need somebody to burn that pile on that hill. You know what we need? Here's what we need. Everybody. Everybody's important. Everybody plays a part. And when I come in here on Sunday morning and I look around and somebody's not here, I'm looking to see where they're at. And I looked over at my wife this morning and I said, have you heard where they're at today? Have you heard about them? You know why? Because you need to be in the house of God. Not for me, I'm nobody. But you need to get hooked up to the spout where the glory runs out and let God charge your motor so you can live this week for the honor and glory of God. Maybe you need to surrender to God's will. And you say, Lord, I know you saved me. But here's the point. God, I want you to be Lord of my life. That's what surrender is. Yes. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to come back to Ebenezer. Maybe you're going through something that's tough, and I know sometimes it's tough. Y'all believe sometimes I have really, really tough days. Really tough. And you know what I have to do? I have to go to Ebenezer. I'm going to say, God, you brought me this far. Just like that preacher had that sign on the wall. God, you brought us this far. You'll take it from here on. I want to ask you if you would to rise to your feet if God has spoke to your heart. If you'd like to talk to the Lord. If you want to build an Ebenezer, you need to come back to Ebenezer. You need to talk to God. I want you to know that God loves you. We'd love to pray with you as she sings. Would you please come?
Hey. merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts hang hopelessly lost our way. Hearts always hunger for, oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own. Here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. Hearts always hunger for, oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise, you are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace. Hearts always hunger for, oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Have you ever acted up? Not done what you're supposed to do, and somebody just loved you anyway? You know, they didn't give you what you deserve. They just treated you with kindness and helped you. That's what God does for us every day. Every day. Sometimes our kids, if they got what they deserve, they wouldn't get much. But what would we get? Reminds me of what Miss O'Neill said. We were watching those kids, and I shared this with you before. We were trying to teach them how to be perfect. And Kendra and I were newlyweds trying to teach somebody else's children. And she said, if y'all ever get to be as good of Christians as y'all want them to be kids, y'all have it figured out. Aren't you thankful for Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand this morning. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm thankful for the presence of God and for His Spirit. Just a couple of announcements we want to make. Celebrate Recovery tomorrow night. We are going to have service here. We'll have a meal about 6, about 10 to 7. We'll have a service. We'll have somebody here tomorrow night giving their testimony, my understanding. Special guest, so we're looking forward to that. Awana tonight at 5:30, and we will be having Bible study at 6. And we're having a pit party. Now, what is that? Well, we're going to be teaching these kids how to build these wooden cars from 1 to 4 today. The kids of all ages, especially older like me. Because I really enjoy this. But if you want to see what that's all about, and if you want to come in, it's not too late. You can come be a part of it. And the race, of course, is next Saturday at 10:45. We'll be here at 9 next Saturday. Finishing up the cars, going to be here on next Friday night setting up the track. Let's also remember the Spring Fling. Spring Fling is coming up April the 20th. That's going to be our Easter egg hunt, going to be here at the church. And then, of course, Easter on the 21st. We also have the blooming of the cross on the 20th that morning, the ladies. April 27th, wild game banquet. And then we'll start announcing we got homecoming coming up after that. And we're going to have the tallies here. What date is that, Brother Keith?
I think it's May the 19th.
May the 19th. We're going to have the tally trio, so we're looking forward to that. A lot of good things. Getting closer to being able to present something to the church. We're getting our engineering done. It's just taking a little bit longer than that to get it done, but we're going to be talking about what the next step is to get a gym built out here, get a soccer field graded out behind the gym so we'll have a good, safe place for the kids to play. Going to cut us a trail through the property so we'll have a good hayride. A lot of blessings. Come on up, brother.
Good afternoon, church. I am holding something here in my hand that my wife and I have put together, mainly my wife. This is the paperwork for your children and our children to go to Global this year. Seen a lot of young men and young women saved here, and that's our goal, right? That's our goal. And when a child or a teenager moves into life, for them to be saved, because it's a big world, and Lord knows we got to have Jesus to go into that world. It gets crazier every day, I think. There's a lot of information on here. It's got the dates for camp. Most of you we've already spoken with. We've got the dates on here, the requirements, what time we're going to meet here, what time we're going to leave, and there's a lot of other information in this. And we will. What we're doing is the final payment on camp is due on the 18th of May.
May 19th.
Yes, that's homecoming, you said? Homecoming, right there. But listen, what we're going to do is we're going to try to do that. If you want to meet up with us outside when we're done for some more information, we'd love to have you. But I also want to say this. There are some children on here that, you know, maybe need some help. If you feel like you want to help a child go, we'd love for you to help that child go. But if there's a child and it's your child or somebody you know and you're having trouble, that's not going to be an issue. Just come see me. We're going to work it out. God's been good to us. God's been good. What we're trying to do is send children to a place to where we can all have fun, and you don't even have to be sore the next day. I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you. We're going to send children to help young men and women realize the call that God has put on them. Thank you.
Just a couple of more announcements. Wednesday night is youth night here at the church. And when we have youth night, it's the first and the third Wednesday night. The youth come in here, and they have their service in here, and Brother Allen preaches to the youth. So if you've never been to youth service, come this Wednesday and hear Brother Allen and watch the youth as they worship. We worship with them, okay? We may not stand up as long as they do, and we may sit in the back, and their music may be a little different than ours. But they're important to us. So come and encourage them and support them. And also, May the 4th, this sounds interesting, the Sunshine Gang, and that's all of you, okay? We're going on a train excursion in South Georgia. That's a train ride. It's different than a boat ride where, you know, for days it all looks the same. Train ride, every foot is different. All the wilderness and the bridges and all that good stuff. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to lift it up and you hear this over here. So you're riding one way and you're going backwards. Don't believe him. It's got to be better than that. They're going to have a meeting next week and we'll be talking about that. So please keep that in mind, but I believe it'll be fun. Thank you for coming this morning. God bless you. Brother Tom Payne, would you come up and dismiss us in prayer, please?
Well, I tell you what, Tommy Bruce is an encourager. People put all this work in doing these things and he'll get up and knock it down. Pray for Tommy. Boy, I tell you what. Thank you, Jesus. I'll tell you what. I'm glad to be here, boy. The message that Joe brought was, I thought about a lot of the Ebenezers in my life. But I tell you this, the closest I've been to God is when I've been through the storm. I'm telling you. And I've been through some storms. You all know that. God bless you for coming today. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we stand in your presence, Lord. And we ask you, first of all, Lord, to continue to be with us. You've blessed us so much, Lord. We ask for thy continued blessings. And Lord, thank you, Jesus, for everything that you do through our program here that we have with Celebrate Recovery. Lives have been changed. Souls have been saved. Lord, we thank you for that. It's not what we do, but it's what you do, Lord. We give you all the glory for that. And may we always be mindful that we must give you the glory because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And one day, they can mock us. They can do all kind of things to ridicule us. But one day, every knee shall bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.